This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit nationaldebtrelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit nationaldebtrelief.com. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobo-pedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, it's 6:03 here in the Bayou City. Final hour already. All right, let's go down to Corpus. Check in with our good friend, Captain Cliff Webb. See what he's doing. Cliffy, what's happening?
Oh, all good, Mickey. I was listening to you and Plog talking about going down and fishing with Blaine. I'm in. Y'all just pick a date. I'm not going to miss another hunt on that one. No. You and Plog pick a day and I'll show up.
We'll do it. We'll plan on that. I'll work that out.
It's kind of like you said. I think we better hurry up and do it.
Yeah, I want to catch a time when it's not going to be real crowded, you know.
Yeah, well, you just let me know and I'll
I want it to be crowded with all our guys, you know?
Yeah.
I don't even care about killing anything. I just want to hook up with everybody.
Yeah, I always wanted to go down there and shoot some quail and birds with him. I don't, you know, the deer's okay, but whatever. I'm not really into deer hunting, but I just want to hang out with the campfire.
Good afternoon dove hunting down there, you know, that time of year. Man, great dove hunts and shoots in the afternoon.
Yeah, that's fun stuff, Mickey. Man.
Yes, sir.
It's good, man. I've had a really good week fishing. Our fishing's just picked up. We still got really high tides here. That east wind pushed in more water again yesterday. But
yeah, it did here, too. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what happens here. But, you know, never really had a long – we had a little bit of southeast wind to blow it out, but it just it was so much water, it didn't move it much. I went out Monday. Monday I took a couple of my buddies, Greg and Barry, out, really good fishermen. So I wanted to go test the water. I had a trip all week. So I thought we'd go out Monday and scout around a little bit and see what was up. And I took the A-team with me. It's easy. When you're going to scout, you take good fishermen
like
with you.
Buddy.
I did. You know, it's so much easier because you don't do nothing. Just sit back and watch them fish. They're good. Both of them are really good.
Awesome.
And I took off Monday, and the water's still really high. You know, I was thinking about that trip with Roland, how those fish were up on top of those spoils. And I thought to myself back in my head, I said, those fish are still going to be there, man. It just, it's been a week, but I know they're still going to be there. But did I go there? No. I let my brain taught me how to not go in there first. I said, try these other big rocks. There was some big fish in there early November last year. Let's see if they're in there, you know. So I'll pull in there, and they weren't there, you know. So I suck it up about, we didn't stay long. We didn't even finish the drift. So we pull out of there just within about 30 minutes and went to where I should have went, you know, where I knew they were.
Right.
And they were there. They were still on top of those spoils, on top of those sunken islands, those little finger mullet and needle gar and ballyhoo are all up on top of that bar where they normally can't get up in there. And I said, they're going to be there, you know. And so it was one of those perfect mornings, a light wind, where I could really work the spools. And what's so cool, the drop-off's about 7 or 8 foot on the outside of those spools. And it's a pretty quick drop-off where you can fire up on top of them where it's normally dry or 2 or 3 inches. And I was throwing topwater. My first two fish right away was probably 5.5, you know, or 5.5, maybe 5 3/4, both of them 26, 27, big fish on topwater. And I'm throwing that little super spook, that bone and silver, which is one of my favorites.
Imagine that. That is so shocking.
You're such a good little bait.
How many trout have died to the hands of that bait right there, buddy?
Oh, my God. It's amazing. It's kind of like the straight bone. But both those fish were just, they really committed, and they just blew it out of the water. Then I think Greg was throwing a plastic, and Barry was throwing a topwater, and we're just smoking them, man. And most of our fish are 18 to 26, just nice, solid trout, you know, and quite a few of them. I think I caught one small red, but I knew the reds were up there. We hooked a couple of reds, didn't get them in, but the fishing was just about as good as it gets up on that island. We fished till about noon and came on in, and I'm lucky because I wanted to find him for Curtis. This guy got on Tuesday, him and his Cole and Cameron, his two boys, come down, and they come down every year about this time. And 3 years ago, Cole caught one that was 31 over 9 pounds with me. And so we're, you know, of course the brother's trying to beat that one. I said, that's a hard one to beat right there.
Yeah.
You know, that was a big trout, but anyway, I look back and I got the boys fishing. When I left the dock on Tuesday, the wind had switched on me, Mickey. It was a straight south at about 14 to 18 miles an hour. It was just getting it. I'm going, man, look at this, you know. So thank God for shockwave seats.
Yeah,
and my 25-foot Haney. That 25-foot Haney with shockwave seats is stupid. So I cut down there.
I enjoyed that ride back. I was dreading it until I sat down in that seat next to you and that ride all the way back from the land cut to Bird Island, man. I remember that day.
Yeah, that's
rough as a cop.
I know it. And that's when that seat really pays off, you know. But anyways, I got Cameron in the back. He's in the back fishing. All of a sudden, the rod just gets, I mean, I can't believe he didn't jerk it out of his hand. This fish hit it under full speed. And I look back, and he's running out of drag. I mean, it is smoking the drag off. And so I reach over there and kind of pull on his line. I realize it's too loose. And so I crank down his drag a little bit before we get spooled. And I've got to, with this strong south wind, I've got to have a little sea anchor out. And so I can't do a lot of quick maneuvering toward the fish without wrapping the sea anchor up in the trolling motor. So I make a, just hit it reverse real fast and just trying to get it up in the spool line, try to get some line back. We were down to the knot. Dang. You know, so finally, it was just a big old fish, you know. So finally, we get this fish under control, you know, and it goes around the motor, you know, just typical fish. And I'm 99% sure it's a big red. I said, you know, it's just hadn't broke surface, and it's just strip and drag, just won't give up, you know. And pretty soon, this big old golden red comes. It's a anyway, we netted it's 33 inches and 12 pounds, and that's the that was a good fish. It was just kind of made the day on the big fish anyway, you know. And so we're all fishing there, and then all of a sudden the boy catches a big old flounder too. I go, man, you guys are on a roll. So we had the grand slam. We had two big flounder and some really nice trout and reds, a couple nice reds. So it paid off, even though the wind was, you know, God, it's probably 18 out of the straight south, and just not really anywhere to get out of it. So you got to fish in it. And I was just worried about people, you know, falling in a boat with the waves. But I put a sea anchor out mid-cleat with that 25. It keeps the rock out of it pretty good.
Right.
It's pretty good. Just got lots of fish, Mickey, and I've been hearing that from everybody.
Yeah, I saw some nice fish caught down your way and even below you, you know.
Oh, I know it. This code being caught, you know.
Yeah, nice, we caught some fish being caught right now, bud.
Yeah, we boat fished all week. I didn't have any wade fish. I think I got Chip, your golfer, next week, which is a really good fish from these guys.
That's
away.
That's a good stick right there. You just get Chip close to a fish, he'll catch it.
We'll get him in there with his buddies, and he's coming next week, so we'll get a wade in. But just incredible fishing toward numbers of fish in the bait. So when I got into these fish, we left Cole and Cameron and Curtis. We all left, pulled off those fish. We're headed back, and I head off to the east side to run when it's real shallow. I pull in this cove on the east side. It is loaded with finger mullet. I mean, the whole water's just roughing like it's raining with finger mullet.
Wow.
And so I drop the trolling motor in. I pull in the back of this cove, and these big wakes are just coming after these mullet.
Lord.
Big, big, big wakes, you know, raking up. And there was about 10 or 15 in a ball. It's a big old ball of redfish. And those fish came right under the boat and never touched our stuff. I mean, we threw right in the middle of them.
Never cut a feather on them.
Never cut a feather. Just, you know, typical redfish. God. You know,
how many times have we seen that?
Oh, you know, they'd already fed. They did feeding all morning in that cove, and they were just they were toted. You know, they were just done.
You know, that's and, what's you know, cool about redfish. You can throw a screwdriver out there when they're on and catch them on that.
Yeah,
and
yes.
Man, you can see them everywhere. You're going, we're going to absolutely obliterate them, and you can't even you can't even get a bite.
Yeah. That just blew my mind.
That blows your mind big time.
Yeah, we saw lots of redfish in that cove. We ended up catching a few trout, and I think we caught one small red in there, but not like we should be catching.
Right.
I mean, we just were just behind the bite. That's all it was.
Go in there the next day, and they'll probably eat the prop off the boat. That's
well, if I'd have fished the next morning, I'd have went to that cove first thing in the morning, and we'd have spanked them because they'd have been in there. You know, but it's hard to pull off those big trout. I'm still on those big, you know, 4 to 6, 7 pound trout. I mean, it's hard to pull off those, Mickey, and go for redfish. You know, if I know I can get on some big trout, I'm going to get them on.
I'd be mad at you if you pull me off of there.
No, that's right. That's secondary plan. That's true. That's true, bud. That's true.
Oh, Lord. All right. Let me do this commercial break. I'll be right back, Cliff.
All right,
buddy. Well, the Belleville Meat Market, what a great place to shop for grade A cuts of beef, pork, and chicken, and no better place to have your wild game process than the Belleville Meat Market. With rival season opening this weekend, don't worry about the Belleville being too busy. They have a 3-lane drop-off system. It's convenient. It's easy. They unload your game. They track it all the way through the process. They do such a fine job. And when you're through dumping your deer off, go next door to the meat market and check out their full menu of pecan smoked barbecue. That's served all week long, Monday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. And bulk pricing is available on all their fresh ground beef and pecan smoked sausage. Smoked sausage samples are available daily in the store. You can try it before you buy it. And they're now taking orders for their pecan smoked turkeys. So order ahead to reserve your holiday bird, 11 to 13 pound average weight. It makes a meal for 8 to 10 people. And homemade stuffed pork tenderloins. And check out their boucherie stuffed chickens. They're excellent. And their wild game processing, can't say enough about it. The Belleville's been celebrating over 42 years serving the greater Houston community. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobo-pedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show, 618 here in the Bayou City. All right, Cliff, we're back. We are back in a flash. You're still there.
It's amazing. Yeah. You can get dropped. Hey, last week we had a phone issue where, I mean, nobody was getting any calls out here. So I think it was Thursday. It was crazy how they just, the island's crazy for calls. It's like people, I'm trying to call you all week and they'll send me a text and I get it, or I'll get it 2 hours later. It's just it's the same old stuff down here. I don't know really what's going on with the phone deal, but it works fine in Baffin Bay. All I can tell you is when I'm down south, it works just fine when I'm fishing.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm picking up Rivera's towers or something, but something's going on here.
Strange things going down there. I mean,
they do. Corpus Christi. No water, no cell service. It's different down here.
Yeah, and, you know, all through those deer leases down there, just you never know when you're going to have a phone. It's weird.
That's what Blaine said. Yeah, what you're talking about, Blaine down there, he doesn't have phone service, man. Hey, but another thing we had down here over the week was a shark-a-thon, you know, the big shark fishing tournament down here last weekend.
Right.
And, man, did they have a incident down here. The surf was really good. I guess Sunday we're all surfing and stuff, and you know, right there at Packery, that's where all the big crowds are. Well, this guy puts this big rack of rods and runs these shark baits right through the middle of the surfers. And man, it got bad. So the surfers hitting that line and getting cut, those braided lines, you know, surfing.
Really?
Yeah. And so a couple of the surfers approached the shark guys on the beach, and you know, it was bad. And you know, the shark fishermen bow up to him, but, you know, both those surfers are both black belts, you know, red belt and judo. It's just stupid to bow up to these guys.
Kind of like in
anyway,
Point Break when that fisherman's standing
bad,
there. They come up to him and said, oh, this is the part where you're going to tell me where this is my break, surfers rule, and all that good stuff.
Yeah. Oh, man, I tell you
what. Hey, don't mess with a surfer's territory, man.
Those guys are all upper body, and they know what to do with it. It's funny. But anyway.
They're greyhounds.
Yeah, it's and so what happened there, and then, so one of the guys, Mike, he knows the president of the Stark Association. He calls, hey, look, man, you running these lines to these servers are not going to work. Somebody's going to get hooked. Somebody's going to get cut up. And so finally they got some boundaries where they moved them away from Packery, a certain area out of the surfers. And it's not a big area the surfers are surfing, Mickey. It's probably about 500, 600 yards from the rocks. You know, it's not that big area. You got 96 miles of beach to catch a shark on. So it doesn't make sense. So anyway, so I think they resolved the problem, and we're not going to have the shark fishermen around the jetties anymore, which is crazy. You know, it's just I just can't imagine people taking a bunch of lines, a braided line, and paddle them out through the surfers. Just doesn't make any sense, you know.
No.
I guess they just don't know, you know. But anyway, that got
solved. Or don't care.
Or don't care, either way. But I never did see if they caught anything really big in that thing. I didn't see the results of the shark-a-thon, but, man.
Hopefully there wasn't any big sharks swimming around in there with surfers.
Well, you know what's so funny is they go down to Big Shell down south, and when the tournament's time to come in, there's just dozens and dozens of trucks coming down that beach with the big racks on. So it is a big deal now. It is really
shark fishing is a big thing nowadays.
It's really picked up. You know, it's like
look at Sharky, man. They make a winter trip over to Florida somewhere to fish at night on the beach.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
and they make a vacation out of it. Him and his guides, they do that every year.
Yeah, that's nuts, man. But the amount of big sharks they catch on this beach, I was watching some of those videos. Oh, my God, man.
I mean, that's dinosaurs, behemoths.
Yeah. And I didn't realize we had so many hammerheads that we've got. We've got a lot of hammerheads.
Some giant hammerheads down there, brother.
Yes.
Big boys.
I've seen them in the water before, and I tell you what, that's an eerie-looking fish when you're surfing with those big
fins.
It
is. And,
like
man, you can always tell with that big top spike fin and then the tail fin coming up behind it. That's no doubt about what that is when it's swimming on top.
That's pretty crazy, man. And then, so yesterday I'm at the beach and watching people just smoke the redfish. I mean,
really?
Hose in the redfish.
Bull reds or and slots?
Just both slot bull reds. Just
awesome.
People just slamming them, you know, spinning and stuff. And we're sitting on the beach and all of a sudden this pelican in front of us he's flying down real low to the water, Mickey, like right off the beach. And he's pulling this giant blue thing behind him. And I couldn't figure out what it was, you know, wrapped around his legs and his wings. And all of a sudden, about 50 yards behind it, there's a big silver spoon, and that silver spoon hit the beach and anchored that pelican on the beach.
Oh,
and so I went over there and grabbed him by the bill and got a pair of scissors and cut all that braid off him. But he was dragging about a 2 ounce champ spoon where people are throwing off those rocks, and he must have had 50 yards of braid around his neck and his wings and stuff. But that spoon dragging behind him, I think hit a clump of grass or something, anchored him down to the beach where he couldn't move. And it was so funny because all the surfer dogs run out there, and they get about 3 feet away from him barking at him, you know. So we went over there and rescued him and got off the braid off him, and he flew off. So that was a pelican rescue while we were watching the redfish. Remember, that was
have you ever seen a seagull with a plastic grocery bag hung up on his wings?
No,
He can't fly. He can fly. He'll go up, and then he'll sit down on the ground and peck at it trying to get it off. He got in this bag just right where his wing was coming out one handle and the other wing is coming out the other handle.
And he's flying with a
parachute. He would try to fly, and he's you know, he can't. He can't go anywhere. He just goes up and down. Finally, he got so tired fighting it in the wind, and he finally landed on the ground. I went over there and took it off of him. Actually, it was a one of those big black-headed gulls. I call them Bolivar gulls and big laughing gulls. I set him free. I said, that teach you to stay out of that garbage dump. We got a big landfill there off Cedar Bayou. You
know, they have a trash bag. And plastic kills a lot of stuff,
And it's got the most gulls you'll ever see in the world. It's like an Alfred Hitchcock movie, buddy. They got the gulls.
Well, I think that's where all the gulls are because we don't have hardly any seagulls in Baffin Bay. It's the strangest thing I've ever seen. You throw a piece of bread out and sit there for 20 minutes without a gull hitting it. And I told you that many years ago. The birds are gone in Baffin Bay. I just don't know. Maybe they're
all have a big landfill around there anywhere?
Pretty good-sized landfill.
That's where they're all
Greenwood.
At.
I guess so. I guess it's what's happened, you know. But it's,
our girls are getting lazy like the rest of society. They don't want to work anymore. They just go to the garbage dump and eat garbage instead of working for their food.
Oh, man.
Shrimp jumping and mullet and shad.
Yeah, it's kind of like losing all your bird dogs, you know. It's kind of like the bird dogs left. You got to find your quail on your own. It's kind of like the fishing, you know. It's the same thing. I got to work harder because the birds aren't showing me where things are at. But we're catching those fish this week, too. It was so funny on Saw Platch. If they really want that Laguna shrimp, that pink and with that copper flake, they're really
that's
on that.
That's a good-looking bait, feet. Ain't it? Man, that's pretty bad.
Yeah, pumpkin seed.
Okay, James and I were just talking about that. That's a November bait, baby.
It is, buddy. Same thing here. And Doug Bird threw that pumpkin seed chartreuse all through November. And so I'm making sure I've got some.
See, back in the day, he was sponsored by Hoagie when I was. And that pumpkin seed, man, that's when it first came out. That was
I remember.
That was a cat's whisker.
Yeah, that was Dusty Road, too, the guy that owned that. He's the first one that was sending
well, he's
big
the one that owns it
boxes.
Now. It was Jack Hollingsworth back then.
Jack Hollingsworth, that's right. Dusty took it over. That's exactly what it was.
Dusty's
that's
owns it, you're it right. now. Right.
And remember that came out with that strawberry with that hot pink tail? That thing was unbelievable here. Man. That was a killer. And, you know, Mickey, you don't see a lot of just shrimp tail baits anymore. I don't know why. You know, you've got rat tails, paddle tails. I don't see them in the stores like I used to.
Hey, that day I went fishing with him and one of our customers. We all fished together, and that's what I threw. Remember the old Paul Brown shrimp tails that had the little legs on them?
Oh, yeah.
That night when I was getting my tackle bag ready to go fishing, I found some of those in the drawer of my tackle room, and I said, I'm going to put these in the boat. I'm going to fish with them tomorrow and blow Steve's mind. And that's what I caught fish on them all day long, man. Pearl with a chartreuse tail.
Good.
White shrimp.
Yeah, that's old school. That's old school. You know,
it still works. Nobody throws it. Yes, I guess you got to work it too much. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a and that was a good flounder bait. We caught so many flounder on those shrimp tails too. I thought about
my goodness
that when that strawberry pink tail would come out in October, November, we'd catch them in the land cut like crazy on that bait.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess flounder season's over now. It's going to get what you get. But there were so many flounder boats out the last couple of nights. It was incredible.
They were hitting hard. I was seeing them on Brag Book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was pretty good. Went and filled up some feeders at the deer lease, Friday. Yeah, Friday. And the amount of quail we got is stupid. I don't know what happened.
Banner crop again. You know, last year was great. I think this year is going to be better from what I'm hearing from everybody.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I sat in the blind just to see what's there. I know some nice bucks come in. I was kind of trying to shoot a pig. And there was over 50 quail under the feeder, over 50.
Wow.
I've never seen it. But what Fred does, Fred fills up my feeder over there. He's so nice, Fred and Freddie. And they'll put a couple of sacks of scratch in there with that corn.
Uh-huh.
And so every once in a while they hit that scratch, and those quail really do like that stuff.
You know, that's what Blaine does in all his feeders on his trucks when they're, you know, when
mm-hmm.
we feed all the
there.
Blinds from taking people out. And he mixes, he calls it a trail mix. Man, he's got wheat and corn, soybeans, all that mixed together.
Oh, nice. It is like he'd put some M&Ms in there, he'd have it done.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's got some Captain Crunch in there and some Fruit Loops, all that, you know.
Oh, no. That's good stuff. You know, so speaking of hogs, so we're trying to kill a pig. You know, Greg and I want to shoot a pig before deer season because we have our best choice. The pig's been eating the corn for 8 months at our feeders, and the big old sows are fat. We want them for sausage. We want to take them to Belleville and make some sausage out of them. So we're up in the blind, and of course, the blind that Greg's in, the feeder didn't go off, the hog blind that I thought he was going to kill a hog in. I'm sitting there and talking about all these hogs. Then I go trick-or-treating last night with my grandson.
Oh, I bet that was fun.
Oh, let me tell you what the hogs, though. This is so crazy. So we pull around. They're in a really nice neighborhood, and they got a park. And these people have been hand-feeding these hogs every night.
Oh, God.
And they're up in the street. We can't drive past them trick-or-treating because all the wild hogs in the middle of the road. And people feeding them candy, Mickey, unwrapping the candy and giving these hogs candy. And this one kid reaches down there with a Hershey bar and got bit by a hog. And so I'm thinking that they're probably going to send some traps out there and send them out because there was 30 or 40.
I mean, you can't trust those things. I mean, you're not supposed to feed wild animals, you know.
And they're right.
Unless you're on a deer leash, you got a feeder or something. But to start hand feeding wild animals like that, that's not good. Somebody's going to get hurt.
Well, it's like a little park right across from the school. And
right.
They started out just feeding the raccoons, and the raccoons showed up, the hogs showed up. Now everybody goes out there all day long and feeds those hogs, and they stay there all night. Well, all the trick-or-treaters are walking by there last night unwrapping candy and feeding the hogs. I said, you know, only Texas do you go trick-or-treating and feed the candy to the hogs. I said,
yeah.
You know, that was pretty
only
good
in
stuff.
Texas.
But my grandson's in the back seat. My grandson's in the back seat yesterday, and I'm driving. They want to go show me the hogs. Let's look at the hogs, you know. So we go by there, and there's a big old fat sow right in the middle of the road, about 130 pounds. I said, you know, there's too many people right here right now. We might just put him in the back.
Well, that thing
would
look real good going to the Belleville, buddy.
Oh,
you know,
Hillman,
he doesn't even hardly have venison sausage made anymore. He said hog sausage is way better. That's what he has down every year.
Yeah.
And I ate some in the boat with him when I went fishing with him, and it was really good. It was excellent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm going to have some of that Chipotle stuff made again this year. I love that
Chipotle
sauce.
Sweet Chipotle, man.
Yeah, oh, that's good stuff.
That and jalapeno cheese, that's just my two favorite. I mean, I've tried everything. All of it's good, but if I had two to blend, that would be the sweet Chipotle and the jalapeno cheese.
That's one thing I like about wintertime. All your guys from Houston always bring that stuff from Belleville, the summer sausage, so I could try all of it in the boat. It's pretty cool.
And their dry sticks are just, man, those are my favorite. You talk about good boat food. Bring you a couple packs of those out there. Your customers love that, man.
Yeah.
All right, let me do this break, and I'll come right back at you, buddy.
All right, buddy.
Hang on.
All right.
Boyd's One Stop. They're the home of the supercharged, super slimy powerhouse croakers, located right at the base of the Texas City Dike at 227 Dike Road. And, folks, if you're looking for quality live bait for your next fishing trip, look no further than Boyd's. From their tanks to your live well, that bait's as good as it can possibly be. And there's no better way to live your bait or your tournament fish than with their oxygen response system. You can check those out firsthand at the store. They have all their different size bottles on display, plus their regulators, diffusers. They refill your oxygen bottles right there at the store. And if you need more info, you can call Jason Cogburn at 281-701-8107. And if you're looking for fresh, wild-caught Gulf shrimp, Boyd's has got it. Whether you're looking for the 9, 12, 16, 18s, what have you, they've got every count, great freshness, and it's all wild-caught, no farm-raised at Boyd's. And their Cajun Grill next door puts out some really good food, and their food truck over in Santa Fe also. Call them at 409-945-4001 or check them out on the web at boydsonestop.com. When you do, please tell them Captain Mickey sent you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit nationaldebtrelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit nationaldebtrelief.com. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. All right, it's 6:37 here in the Bayou City. Final segment already. Time's flown by today. All right, Cliff, we're back, my friend. We were talking hogs and sausage.
Yeah. You know, it's just crazy that the hogs, people don't realize how good the sows, you know, not the boars, but you take a sow wild hog that's been eating at your feeder for 8 months on corn. The flavor is incredible how good
they are.
Don't have all the chemicals in them that you get, you know, in the store-bought hogs. We've been eating them all my life. It's one of my favorite things off. That and quail is probably the favorite eating thing off the deer lease. Of course, the owner of our lease took our quail away, so we just get to watch them now.
You know, the other night, I went over to a friend's house. He invited Ron and I over. They know we're all messed up trying to get our house redone and everything.
Oh, yeah, I was listening to that, man.
And he fried backstrap and pork loin. You know, the flavor, the backstrap was good and everything, but hey, you'd throw rocks at it compared to that pork tenderloin fried up, you know, just like the backstrap. It was just excellent.
Yeah.
You just cut it with your fork. It was so tender.
Yeah. I like flavorful. Chicken fried backstrap out of a sow, you know, then cream gravy on it and top. It's hard to beat.
Man.
God almighty, man.
Way
really
to go,
hard.
Dude.
And, you know, some areas, like when I worked at Sarita Safari on McKinney, we didn't have feeders. We was all pretty much safari-type hunting. We had very few feeders anywhere. You know, just drive-by shootings. It was just, you know, we drove 230. Yeah, it was 230,000 acres.
Gangster hunting, man.
It was, buddy. It was. You know, we'd drive and then glass up and then go try to kill it, you know. But those hogs there in that Sacagawea grass were terrible. That was the worst eating hogs ever. They had no corn. Their ribs were showing. They didn't have a lot to eat. They just didn't. But you go up around Alice where I'm at, where everybody's feeding corn, all
corn
the feeders and stuff.
Hogs.
And then you got all the maize and all the different corn crops. So you take the Kennedy, there's no farmland there. You know, so the hogs never get really good. They're just eating what wild hogs eat.
Right.
But you get them around that farm stuff, it's good stuff.
You are what you eat.
That is, buddy, Ben. By the way, I did get my Southerly stuff in the mail yesterday, and I tried it on. That's some good way to
go. Mike called me. Mine's on the way, too. And
Good.
I did get that new Hundo 50 in the mail yesterday with some Mueller Duke dogs.
I did the same thing. Those Duke dogs are good.
A fine-looking bait. I can't wait to throw them. That's going to be an awesome top order, man.
Man, I'm seeing all these commercials on Facebook on all these new soft dines and stuff. People are making these custom soft dines. You seen some of that stuff? Man, colors are unbelievable. They got a new floating soft dine this year, which I'm excited about. You know, I love really shallow water and cold conditions with floating baits. I mean, you know, when those fish get real sluggish and you can just sit there and hover it over their head, they'll reach up there and eat it.
Well, look at the damage we did in that skinny stuff. For years with that floating corky, man. Oh, Lord have mercy.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
That was a toilet flushing machine. It sounded like somebody dropped a bowling ball in the water when they.
Yeah, I love that sound, too. That slurping sound. That
sucking sound, that water raking through them gills, man. And that, you know, just, oh.
Yeah, Lord. I know it.
Doesn't get much better than that, brother.
I know it. And what this high water's done for us for our winter fishing is deposit a whole bunch of that grass that we've got in Laguna Madre, it's just put it all up on the bank, and so that's going to be it's kind of like the cleanup crew that happens to us. Now, when the ducks show up, now falcons just showed up yesterday. The monarch butterflies started showing up yesterday, and we've seen two peregrine falcons. That means the ducks are on the way. We got this one banded peregrine falcon that sits on marker 42 in Intercoastal. He's been there 7 years, Mickey. He's a banded falcon.
They always come back. You know, I've got one that, you know, the peregrines made it quicker than the red-tailed hawks this year for whatever reason.
Yeah, the peregrines are here already. Yes.
Yeah, they've been up by my house, I don't know, a month or better now.
Yeah, but that is
isn't that weird how they'll come in and they'll just work up and down the coast and they'll find their territory and their range and they'll stay there. Yeah. That's where their food source is, and they're going to stay there all winter.
Yeah, I got two big mesquite trees in my backyard, and there's probably 20, 25 white wing in those mesquite trees every day. I got a bird bath out there.
That's live bait for those falcons, buddy.
And I was going to tell you, yesterday I went out in the yard, and it was just a big ball of feathers in the yard where somebody got smoked.
Hey,
somebody got
talons,
smoked.
Hey, when those talons hit those doves wide open, when they cock their wings back on and they hit them, it's like, you know, a whole pillow, you know, feathers everywhere.
Yeah,
it looks like somebody hit a pillow with a shotgun.
Yeah, it is. It is cool. Like I said before, I've been lucky to see two strikes by falcons. And I watch on YouTube sometimes, those ducks will be sitting on the ground, and that falcon will hit them in the head. You don't even see the bird. It just goes over the top of their head, and the duck's dead all of a sudden, how fast they hit them. You know, it's just pretty incredible. You know. But the old days, the people would come from Saudi Arabia down here to Big Shell, and they would trap those peregrine falcons, use them for hunting. And they would get caught at the airport, the Parks and Wildlife, and the federal orders would always catch these guys with these falcons. And the way they caught them was incredible. They take a rod and reel and a pigeon and tie that pigeon on that rod and reel around the legs and put two rubber bands over his wings with a loop. With a mono loop over the wings, how they caught them. And then when that falcon struck, that loop would go around their talons and stuff. And they reel them in with that rod and reel, Mickey. They'd fly those pigeons. And it was incredible how smart those people were about catching those falcons.
Mm-hmm.
But nowadays, it's so watched with the drones. And, you know, that's one thing now, the drones and stuff and all that and stuff. You're not going to get by with that anymore, you know.
No.
But
yeah, pull your falcon out of the cage and tell him, all right, I want a greenhead mallard this morning. Go get me one.
That's nuts, isn't it?
Man, yep.
That's really cool.
Yeah, they have falconry season and all that, you know, like anything else.
Mm-hmm. They're doing the deal. Did you see that deal we're having all the problem with the wolves in Colorado, Wyoming, you know, getting their sheep and stuff, and they train these golden eagles to kill the wolves. I don't know if you saw that video, but that's pretty wicked. I didn't know a golden eagle could kill a wolf, but they do, Mickey.
Golden eagles are huge, dude.
I didn't know, but they grab them by the head, and their talons are so strong, they penetrate their skull.
Yeah.
But they showed a couple of kills, and that was pretty amazing. I had no idea they were that.
That's something you wouldn't
want to
do, shake hands with a golden eagle, or any eagle for that fact.
Yeah.
Those talons are nasty, man.
They pull those goats up out of the mountains and pick them up about 300 feet and drop them.
I used to love that video they had of that one golden eagle holding on to that sheep, and it fell down the mountain, and just end over end, he dropped it out of his talons, and it just down all those rocks.
Yes.
That sheep didn't make it.
Yeah, it makes all these little hawks and stuff I got around here in Texas look weak, but they are, you know, for their size, they are amazing. But just I would like to see a go up there and just see one of those golden eagles hunt. I've only seen them in captivity, never seen one in the wild. I've seen the bald eagles, you know, go up by Eagle Lake when I used to hunt up there. You know, Eagle Lake, there was a lot of those bald eagles up there with the ducks and stuff. Just amazing, just terrorizing the ducks. God.
Yeah, we're getting quite a few down my way, you know, down the Trinity River watershed and then on the coast right there that come down, and they're cool birds, man.
Yeah,
majestic birds.
Yes, they are. They really are, man. Have you heard anything about how our ducks are this year? If we got a lot of birds, anybody said anything?
You know,
last year was weak.
Yeah, and I think this year is going to be even weaker, according to the counts. And then the biggest problem we have here on the coastal prairie and everything is our birds are being short-stopped above us every year with all the water projects and planting and, you know, all the crops up there, and they don't have, they don't have a reason to come to the coast anymore like they used to. The flyways have changed. We don't have the agriculture down here like we had in the past, and nothing to draw them. And it's changed it.
So it's not the numbers of ducks, it's just that there are some numbers down.
You know, teal numbers are down and everything. Now, pintails are up this year. They're going to let you have three pintails, which is good for your area because that's Pintail City down that way.
It is a lot of pintails.
Bull sprigs a day down there. Mm-hmm. But it's just, it's all changed. You got to, you know, Oklahoma and Kansas, all up above up there. I mean, there's so many crops planted now and all the DU water projects and everything for roost ponds. And it's stopped a lot of those birds from coming down to us.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
I guess if it gets really, really cold, they got to come down. But it's usually too late in the season, you know.
Well, yeah. And when you do get those good blistering fronts, it frees over all the water up north. You know, when they do come to the coast, we're already through. Season's over.
That's it. That's what's happening.
Because, you know, back in 83, that winter when we had those 12 days of Christmas, when it froze everything, all of our ponds down here on the coast were frozen. And those birds would come in and they'd slide on their butts across that ice, and all the decoys are frozen. And if you had a pond that had open water, you could get it busted open. You couldn't beat the ducks out of there, but they were all going to the Gulf and sitting on the Gulf because it wasn't frozen. I mean, it was, you just look up in the sky and there's millions of ducks flying in circles, you know, trying to figure out where can I land and sit down. It was crazy.
Mm-hmm. I remember the ducks were so thick here on the upper Laguna Madre, you know, back 40 years ago, that when they would take off all at one time, you could hear them for miles.
Wings,
you know, just amazing the amount of bird. Hey, man, I heard a really good Mike Herring. I talked to Mike Herring the other day, and I heard a great hunting story I got to share with you. You know, he's really got the great dogs. You know, all of our dogs are from him.
He's,
you know,
he's got
Hook, which is the national champion. He's got all the semen froze for it. So he's had the national champion. So he has the best Labradors of anybody. I've got all my labs from him. Well, he's got this new dog. He's not new. He's 5 years old, Blue. And Blue said Blue is the best dog he's ever had. He said Blue is so good. He's sitting a blind with him in teal, and he'll drop six teal at one time, and Blue watches every bird, watches your safety, watches you, watches the bird come in.
Marks him,
but he'll always go get the farthest bird, a cripple. He might not have to say nothing. He sends him out. So he's a really, really smart dog. But this dog doesn't bark. He said he doesn't bark. He whines. He says he's never heard him bark. Huh. And so it was toward the end of the season, and Mike's on a dove hunt. And he says he's walking across this field, and out in the middle of the field is this little pond, and around the pond got two or three trees. So he's going to walk around that pond and try to shoot some birds. He said, not a lot of flying right now, not a lot going on. And Blue's walking behind him, about 10 feet behind him, and Mike's facing forward. And all of a sudden, Blue lets out a bark. I mean, a manly bark. And Mike says, I ain't never heard this dog bark. So Mike says, I'm getting ready to turn around and see a mountain lion or something's going on back here. You know, he turns around and a dove is coming over from behind him, and that dog is looking at it and bark at Mike to shoot the bird.
Tell him to shoot the dirt. How about that?
Yeah, that's good stuff right there. You know what? When your dog's telling you when to shoot, but he said, that's the only reason he could have barked, Cliff. He said that bird was coming right behind me, and that dog barked and looked, and the dog is looking up in the sky, and I look when there's a dove. He said, man, you know, that's good stuff right there. I like that.
Boy, I had a lab give me a dirty look, man. You'd call in a bunch of ducks and all your customers would jump up and never cut a feather, and he'd look over at me like, if that dog could talk, these customers wouldn't like what that dog's fixing to say. I mean, you could see it on his face. Oh, he'd be disgusted.
That's good stuff, man. Golly.
Dogs, man. There's something
else.
Yeah,
I know. Well, you know, that's the best part about duck hunting is working the dogs. I swear.
That's my favorite part is watching the dog work. You know, Blaine had a big old square-headed lab, man, big old buffalo-head lab. I mean, and a big dog, too, giant chest on him. And Cinco, Jack Pruitt, you know.
Cinco? I like that.
Yeah, that was his name, Cinco. And he would sit there, especially in teal season, and everybody would volley, and he'd do like you're talking about, Mike's dog, you know, marking all those birds. And he'd go out and... He was a big dog. He wasn't lazy, but he didn't want to work real hard.
Right.
So he'd come back with two, three, four teal in his mouth. He was had
one time.
Head on him. Yeah, he could do it one time. That way he wouldn't have to make but one trip.
That's a smart dog.
Yeah.
Man,
old Cinco. That was good. You know, somebody stole that dog from Blaine. It was in his kennel. He was out fishing. He came home, and the dog was gone. Somebody saw it.
Oh, that's a cold. That's a cold individual
back, remember
right there.
Back, there was people stealing dogs back then. It was
I
back in the
that.
Late 80s, early 90s.
Like stealing one of your kids. God,
yeah,
that's horrible.
Exactly.
Ah, people are unbelievable. That's amazing. I had one pup stolen a long, long time ago when I was a kid. I had a lab. Somebody gave me a really good lab, and someone stole it out of my front yard, you know. But it was a puppy, probably 2 months old, and they jumped the fence and cut the leash on it and took my dog. We were gone just a couple hours, you know, but that was crazy. Never heard of it again. Never saw it.
Man.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we did recover. I tell you a great lost pet story. So I had an African gray parrot, and I raised this parrot from an eyedropper. I mean, I raised it from, it monkey chow from an eyedropper. So this bird was really, really smart. Just talked like crazy. And I had its wings clipped, I thought. And I opened up the door. I opened up the back door, and he was on my shoulder. And the wind's blowing about 35 out of the south, and that bird took off and got up in the wind. He was over Padre Island Drive in a second. He was gone.
Oh.
And I said, that bird's gone, you know. Well, that bird goes about 2 miles on the Naval Air Station over there, and this guy catches him and builds a cage for him. That bird started saying my son's name, CR, and started saying my dog's name. And then he said my name. You know, he started talking. And he called one of the vets, and he says, I got a bird here that's saying all these names. And he goes, does it say Rocket? And he says, yeah, well, that's Webb's dog. His lab's name's Rocket. Because I'd open the back door and I'd whistle, here, Rocket, to call him to eat. And my dog, every time I'd open the back door, the parrot would whistle and call the dog. And so that's how I got my parrot back. But anyway, I got him back. I got him back 2 weeks later because he was saying our name. But that
Isn't
was crazy.
That something?
How he came back, man. Too bad labs can't talk.
Well, I can't top what that one. That's a good one there, buddy.
That was pretty good, man. Pretty good.
You know, growing up when I was a kid, my mom had this green and yellow, real pretty colored parakeet. And I didn't know it, but she had won that in a radio contest.
Right.
In Houston. And his name was Pretty Bird. And, man, that thing was smart. It could talk. A parakeet now. I'd say Pretty Bird, Pretty Bird. Well,
that's crazy.
I don't know how long she had that, but when we were living in Baytown, that bird would always perch on her shoulder or on top of her head. And she'd be doing housework, doing this and that, and she didn't realize it. It was just common for that bird to be on her. Well, she had to go outside, and she'd always dump her coffee grounds in a flower bed and an azalea bed. And when she went outside, that bird was on her head, and it flew off. And you thought that one of the kids died. I mean, my mother was just in – it just broke her heart. I mean, that bird, it flew around the house. It had a cage, and it would only go in there at night to sleep. Rest time when everything was going on around the house, the bird was active. Crazy.
Yeah, well, we thought the wings were clipped and that bird couldn't fly. Well, I got news for you.
Got news for
you. It kind of looked like a quail. It kind of looked like a quail when it flew off. It kind of stubby wings, but it made it. But once it got up in that 35-mile-an-hour wind, it was gone, buddy. Man, that was crazy.
That is. That's that's nuts.
Yeah, but that African gray was a smart, smart bird. That was a really cool pet I had. I had a lot of pets.
It was
that was one
it
of
was
my
a parrot?
Ones. Yeah, parrot African gray. The one that's gray with a kind of a red head. Yeah, and they're supposed to be the smartest ones of the parrots. And so our neighbor raised them from, you know, he raised them from, he had the couple, he raised eggs, and he would hatch them and sell them to people. But he gave them to you. They didn't have any feathers. It was like a little ugly chicken. You had to feed them with an eyedropper with monkey chow. But what that does, it makes that bird, you know, really smart because it starts out with you, so it's real connected to
him.
That bird was... Man, it was really. I ended up selling to an airline pilot that really wanted him. My wife became allergic to him because of the dandruff off the bird with her asthma,
right.
So we
bird
had to get rid
dander.
Of it. So.
Yep.
Yeah, and so this airline pilot had it, and he flew around with his private jet with that bird with him in that private jet. So he ended up doing
it. That bird sounded smart enough. He'd probably fly that plane if he wanted to.
He was a co-pilot, right?
Co-pilot, man. Oh gosh! All right, Cliff. Well, we're out of time already. Well, hey, man, buddy. If somebody wants to come down and fish with you, throw your number out there, man.
Yeah, it's going to be a good November, man. Come on. I'm in area code 361-949-0707. Hey, thanks for having me on, Mick.
Run
appreciate
on down
it,
there and get on a big girl beat down, buddy.
It's we're going right. to do it, man. It's just right around the corner.
All right.
Thanks, Mickey.
See you, Cliff.
Later, buddy.
Later.
Okay, man.
All right. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show. We'll be back in the morning bright and early, 4 a.m. right here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobo-pedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. From roof repair to emergency plumbing and more, done well. So the next time you have a home project, leave it to the pros. Get started at Angie.com.